This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So you actually did the thing that everyone tells you not to do, which is date someone in your field.
Yes.
We're also guilty, but you met your husband through poker.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I've actually honestly always done that, though. Some people like the separation of they come home and their spouse doesn't know anything about what they do. That makes me feel like you're not
in my world.
Like, it's such a big part of who I am.
Yeah.
Especially since, it's like, poker is such a unique kind of lifestyle. Acting is a unique lifestyle. If you don't understand the lifestyle at all, it's like, I just feel so disconnected from you.
That's Would you say that you're a shitter where you're an eater?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up? It's Iceman.
And today we have a very special guest, Marley Spraggs.
Hi.
What's up? I'm not going to pretend that this is the first time she came over.
This is okay. The second time she's been on the show.
Just to like let you know, like, she came over last week and we had a crazy malfunction. I blame Mercury retrograde, but our microphones just wouldn't work and it was like pretty annoying. For her, mostly, like, we just, like, kind of just wasted her whole afternoon. No. And we recorded 10 minutes. And it was just, like, a really juicy 10 minutes. So I'm kind of sad for you guys. And then we made her choke on some really spicy hot wings. And
yeah, we actually hung out all night. We hung out all night. It was really fun.
Yeah, we just, we're like, how many things can we do to torture this human?
This
and then I came back.
And then she's like, you know what?
Crazy.
Come back next week.
Yeah. it was fun. They were like, oh, these wings are really spicy. And whenever someone says that, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. It's like, what do they call it? Like, hot one. What's the Mike's hot? Or
yeah, Mike's hot.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Or like, the
red hot.
I know exactly
red
what you're talking
hot.
About.
Yeah, red hot. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's like red hot. And this shit was like, no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so Steve likes spicy food, and he challenged our neighbor by saying that his wings weren't that spicy last time.
They weren't.
So our neighbor decided to grill some shit out of some ghost peppers and had them do a different batch. He made two batches. One was like normal spicy, and this one was like
death
up your ass spicy. Yes, death spicy.
And we were both man down.
Both of you guys.
I did give a speech after I ate it, though. Before it started to mess with my body. So I was okay taste buds wise, but my God, it definitely affected my body.
Same.
Anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome back. Thank you for coming back.
You're a poker player.
Yes.
You are known.
You are known.
So there you go.
I've been around the betting in this niche.
Well, you're a tuber as well.
You're known.
I'm a niche tuber.
Yeah, niche tuber.
Areas.
Poker player. You've also done some trolling in your time, which I very much love.
Yes, of course. I've come down in my later years. You guys didn't know me back in the day. I was feisty as fuck.
Yeah, I've heard.
In a good way.
Yeah,
in a good
way. Yeah. Of course, always.
But yeah.
Well, yeah, nobody likes a feisty chick.
Tell us a little bit about that, about the start, like the start. Because I know the refined, married
Marley. Yes. Yeah, I can't be doing that anymore. I'm a lady.
She's a lockdown woman.
Yes, yeah. No, I started a vlog four years ago, actually, only. It feels like longer. Oh, right. And I made a couple of videos in the beginning that were like, just my vlogs in general, just crazy. And I would just basically have no filter. And I still have no filter, but I feel like now how I describe it is like no topics off limit. But if I know it's inflammatory, I'll just be extra like
cautious.
Sensitive.
Well, I'll just like put work into like how I word it and how I deliver and how I present it. Whereas before I would just be like, oh, I'm gonna talk about fucking the Holocaust. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, whatever it is, I would just go for it, you know.
Yeah, back when you could like just do comedy.
Yeah.
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 Not worry about getting canceled over saying something
that's
wrong.
True.
Well, so you started with poker. You weren't always vlogging it. You started with poker first.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us how that, like, how did you transition from like poker into like, hey, I'm gonna film this. What were your first, vlogs comedy, or were they hand histories?
Well, they were comedy. So I started off doing, because that was all there was really, and still kind of mostly is just hand history videos where you, if you don't know poker, it's hand histories are like where you literally film the cards and then you're like, oh, and then I had ace king, and then you walk someone through the hand. So I did that. but I would always do it like super out of line. Like I would just say insane shit. Like I'd be like, oh, if you're on the button, you can get away with anything. You can be racist, you can be sexist, you can yell slurs, but you can play any hand you want. I would do hands, but I would just make it insane.
Yeah.
And I did these two sketches like that weren't hands. That was kind of like what blew up, which was looking for a poker boyfriend, which was I went through the poker room and I was like, fucked him. There's no one left, like whatever. And then I was like, did one called building my poker bankroll, which was basically me being like, I'm broke, I need to like rebuild my role. And then I was like, I'm going to go be a stripper, I'm going to go be a homeless person, I'm going to do this. And then I fuck someone in the bathroom, like, to get in a big role.
I alluded to that.
It was, yeah.
You don't actually get to see it. So, I mean, but go watch it just in case you get to see it.
But the bit, obviously, is that everyone accuses you of that, so you're making fun of that.
Yeah, well, I was staked the time, and especially, like, my backer, like, people would just, because he was my ex-boyfriend's, like, good friend, so we all lived together. And he would tell me, like, constantly, people are like, oh, yeah, you, like, hitting that, whatever. It was, like my brother, you know what I mean? And he was like, no, dude, I'm just backing her. And just, like, that's just what you get as a woman in poker. So when someone makes fun of me, I'm just going to make fun of myself. I'm just going to be like, yeah, I am. Like, yeah,
that's what we do.
Yep, yep. That's what I'm doing.
You, like, whatever you thought about us, nailed it.
Yep.
You nailed it.
Yep. But, you know, I think that I am super dry, and I feel like, you know, I think definitely some people took it as serious. A lot of women took it as serious, and they took it as me, like, encouraging that behavior instead of being like, hey, like, if you're just gonna like accuse me of this, I'm just gonna like lean into it a little bit.
Yeah, I watched one video where you were like, you know, poker is so sexist towards women. For every dollar that a man makes, I make 50.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I love that.
The wage gap. Yeah.
It's perfect. It's like whatever you think a woman is sucking out of the industry. Yeah, yeah, you're right, asshole. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. How does that feel?
Yeah.
Do you think it kind of sucks that, like, when you're playing poker, you have to play poker almost like representing an entire block of human beings instead of just being an individual and playing poker?
Yes. I made a video about this, too, where it's like I feel like every podcast I do, and I was guilty of it, too, because I had a podcast for a year and a half with Jamie Kerstetter, and we had a lot of women on. And naturally, you just ask, like, what's it like being a woman in poker? What's it? Do you think you have an edge? Every question is centered around your gender.
Yeah.
And it's like I've always kind of just been like, I just want to be treated like, why is this everything filtered through this lens?
That happens with stand-up comedy too, because I know you're shifting more over to comedy, but like I feel like everything's like, who's your favorite female comedian? Who's your favorite female poker player? Like, why is it's not like sports where like clearly men have a muscle advantage or whatever. It's like, why is it different? We're playing the same game. And you're just like attracted to like a male dominated field.
I just like the game. You know, it's funny because I think that like it's just the elephant in the room. Like there's so few of us. It's like 5% women this game. So it is just so astonishing when you see a woman, I guess, in a sea of men. So you can't help but comment on it. Like I said, I'm guilty of it, too. But it's just like, I just want, and I don't know, some women really play it up and they kind of want to lean into that. Yeah. And I'm like, I just like, I'd rather you just treated me like any other dude.
Right. You know?
Well, it's too bad you're not going to exploit it for personal gain. Because you really could get far with it.
Yeah.
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 So where'd you start playing poker?
Well, my dad played for a living. I lived in Vegas briefly when I was growing up, when he played live. And so just him, just like being around
just
it.
Just around it all the time. Wow, that's really cool to have like a dad that was a professional poker player. So you're just like born into the industry.
Kind of, yeah.
I've never heard that story, actually. Every story is like, my parents were really pissed at me. And like, I just wanted to take a chance. I really liked the game. And like, it was really hard to convince them. But your dad was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. He's always been supportive. That's what's good about it. But no, I mean, but still, even though I was like playing throughout, or I knew about the game and I enjoyed it, I still like wanted to be an actor. That was like my thing.
Oh, so originally you wanted to be an actor?
Yeah. Well, okay. I was a model in high school and I was like,
subtle flex.
Yeah.
This was like 10. This was like 10 plus years, 15 years ago.
I was a model.
Well, now there's people coming up to me like, you were a model.
Yeah, of course.
I love those people. Yeah. You're just talking about your life story.
You can't say anything without
really?
Yeah. You think you're better than us?
Exactly.
Oh, really? What have you done?
Oh, you think you're hot?
Deserted island?
You think you're hot. Okay. You think you're really hot.
It's the best.
It's the best.
You're just saying a fact about yourself.
Shout out to those people.
Love it.
I used to say that too, but the things I modeled for were like cat food. I modeled for ADD awesome medication. Yeah. I modeled for, not the type of model that you think of modeling.
No. What was I going to say? But yeah, I was doing that in high school in Boston, and my dream at that point was to like be a supermodel, but I'm super short and just...
What's super short? How tall are you?
5'7", which is like...
Yeah, that's not going to cut
a
it.
A dwarf.
Not going to cut it.
In the modeling world. And my agent, bless his heart, was like, I was going to New York for school, and he was like, I'm just going to be a supermodel, whatever. He's like, you're not. You're just too short.
There's something you don't hear in the modeling podcast. It's like somebody who's short, right? And they're like... Well, you know, isn't that kind of interesting? You're a short model.
Yeah, exactly.
Never going to happen.
Your agent goes, you could do catalog. And it's like
that's what I had been doing is catalog. Yeah. And I did in New York too, but I just do, you know, I did some like magazine stuff, but I wouldn't do runway.
Sears?
You could do Sears.
Sears is
good.
Very old reference.
Very good.
Yes.
Mine was like, you can do print.
Yes.
Yeah, that's I'm 5'4".
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, anything under like 5'9" is just like, you're just don't even exist on this earth. Like, why are you in here?
Yeah, why are you here?
And then I was in New York and I forget how I even got on this. What was the question?
Oh, how you,
started acting.
Got into poker, but then you originally wanted
to be an actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just doing this. And so I was in that world, and because I couldn't be like a supermodel, I was like, I just was booking commercials and stuff. And that's kind of how I got my foray into it. And then I quit university and did 2 acting schools, and I was like, I can like kind of do it, but in a different way, because I'm short and useless.
Yeah. So
life cut up to you.
Yes, exactly. I'm past my prime.
And I'm a brunette.
Yeah, exactly.
You actually really remind me of Tina Fey with the glasses.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
What gets you going? Okay, I'm acting. You know, this maybe isn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm thinking about poker now.
Oh, well, you guys are in the industry. Like, I was just auditioning and bricking and booking some things and getting close and then bricking. And
yeah, audition life really prepared me for tournament life.
Yeah, it's nice. Super high variance.
It's a lot of rejection, a lot of practicing, studying.
Prepare me for crypto.
And then you didn't get it.
It's actually worse in some ways, because I feel like the gods decide your variance in poker, whereas like some dude in a fucking suit who doesn't even know what the fuck's going on decides your fate in the entertainment industry. So it's actually worse.
Yeah, because it's actually personal.
But,
like, whereas,
or sometimes you're there and they already booked the role, but they have to just kind of go through the rigmarole.
Yep.
My ex-boyfriend, we were not married, in New York, and I was like 20, was a director. And he did commercials, and like I always tell the story of like he was booking this big commercial for AMC and Microsoft, and he watched the first tape in bed and just was like, I'll just do them. And they had like tons of people he'd even watch, and I was like, those people have like died, yes, that will like change their life.
And they take it so personally after.
Yes.
I had a manager who would lecture me every time I didn't book a role. He was pretty crazy and toxic, but like he was very like overbearing, and like every time I didn't book it, like he would, even if it was like a 2-line audition, he would like, what are you thinking, do you think like maybe you need to get back into shape, you know, maybe you need to get more TV ready, maybe like you didn't deliver the run, like you can't book a 2-liner, like I don't know what's wrong with you, and like, but like he would just crazy berate me.
But yeah, when you know the inside
but
stuff.
Like then, you know, you have that back, the, you know, the behind the scenes, and it's like, well, actually, it's sometimes it has nothing to do with you.
Sometimes
the casting director is even like, we like this person, and the director's like, nah, I got a nephew that wants his first shot, we're gonna give it to that guy.
Or sometimes, like, and this is crazy too, like, you know, YouTube started becoming a thing, numbers started becoming a thing, so they're like, we really want this person for the role, so it doesn't matter you're auditioning all these other people, they already just want this person for the role because of the numbers attached to them, like the social media
the
presence,
followers.
Yeah,
it's fucking hilarious.
So, well, I'm sure it's worse because that's all about what your likes are and your following and your subscribers.
It's crazy, because when I started like really going doing the audition grind was like 2008 2009, and that manager,
yeah,
it was crazy, knew that I was doing YouTube, and I was getting kind of a big following on YouTube, and he was like, you're not going to be taken seriously as an actor. You need to stop doing YouTube and cut the cord, blah, blah, blah. Don't even mention it. Don't say anything about
it.
And then like 5 years later, you go into an audition. They're like, so how's your social media following? And I'm like,
that's so crazy.
Yeah.
You were ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So did you see, yeah. did it help you then? Like, because you had that following?
I think it helped me get more opportunities for mm-hmm. sure. I think any edge you can take, you have to take it in entertainment. And, you know, yeah. my first acting coach actually said that. He's like, I'm going to teach you how to act, but I'm going to teach you guys more about the business behind acting, because yeah. how to make money is going to be more important than being the best, most talented actor. The most talented actor, you don't even know who they are yeah. because they didn't get cast enough or whatever, but you need to make money.
And the more yeah. up the chain you look, like, you see a lot of actors who are just playing themselves and they yeah. do really well.
Yeah.
They like Ryan Reynolds is awesome.
Yeah.
But he's just being Ryan Reynolds. Out there, and it's like, good for him.
Definitely. Yeah.
He did that Buried movie, but which he's very good in. But I'm saying, when he makes the money, he's yeah. making it as himself.
Same with Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. There's a lot of like people that when you start, you should play roles closer to yourself and then like
branch out.
Yeah. But yeah, he was basically like, the mm-hmm. first way you're gonna get cast is by knowing someone. Does it like you have to be born into the industry. Second way is you're rich as fuck and you can just pay your way in. Third way is you have to be like the most beautiful, like some of the top 10% most beautiful people, like yeah. just good looking people. Especially are just going to cast more. Yeah. yeah.
I heard a great bit.
And it then was, fourth is talent. He
somebody
said.
Was saying that Margot Robbie has never had a bad time as a woman in Hollywood because it's just like, she's just like, they just throw roles at her. They dump roles like on her front porch as like a leading lady or whatever.
Because she's just so gorgeous.
Because she's yeah, a beautiful woman and all that stuff. But then like obviously going up yeah. the chain, like people who were beautiful, yeah. nobody calls them anymore.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But crazy. So you decide to pivot into poker. Mm. Is your dad like, I don't know about this?
No, he's very supportive. He definitely, it's like good and bad that he really understands what it is, because he's supportive and he understands it, that it's a legitimate career and it's not gambling really. But he went broke. He's seen some dirty sides of it. And so he's also just like, you know, you could do anything.
Yeah.
Like, why are you wasting your life? Kind of. But he's very supportive. And certainly now that I'm kind of doing.
Yeah, the old style, poker stories I hear are pretty nuts. Like,
yeah.
When the regulation wasn't as strict.
Yeah.
I mean, it still can get pretty nuts.
Like,
but
what?
Well, I mean, like, there's a lot more cheating, easier to get away with cheating. Yeah.
Just like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a casino game. You know, it's going to be rife with just sketchy characters. It still is, but there's just more regulations and gaming. Gaming is just tighter.
More people got caught and then helped to catch the people who are doing the bad thing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So you actually did the thing that everyone tells you not to do, which is date someone in your field.
Yes.
We're also guilty, but... you met your husband yeah. through poker.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I've actually honestly always done that, though. Yeah. I think all of my serious every person I've ever dated at like work or in my field. Like some people like the separation of they come home and their spouse doesn't know anything about what they do. That makes me feel like you're not.
In my world.
Like that's such a big part of who I am.
Yeah.
Especially since it's like poker is such a unique kind of lifestyle. Acting is a unique lifestyle. If you don't understand the lifestyle at all, it's like I just feel so disconnected from you.
Would you say that you're a shitter where you're an eater?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. She ate those wings. She definitely likes eating shit.
Yes. Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah.
Well, it helps to have somebody in your field so that they understand what you're going through maybe.
I think so. Because obviously some people feel like they just don't want to come home and talk about work. And so they kind of prefer the opposite. I think most people are like that, actually.
Well, most people hate their jobs. I think that's why.
That's true.
They spend all day at the job that they hate and they don't want to talk about it after. It's like when Jennifer Lopez married that waiter.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, she married for love, but like there's just some barriers that like he's not going to understand her world. Yeah. She's not going to understand his world.
That's an extreme example because she's like... Her world is just Mars, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we met in Reno doing commentary and just became friends. And then
Did you know who he was before you started commentating?
No.
Okay.
Because like the Twitch world, he plays online.
By the way, for those of you who don't know, her husband is Spraggy on Twitch. Huge poker Twitch streamer. Check him out. He's a Brit.
He's a Brit. He's a Euro. He never comes to the States. He used to be sponsored by PokerStars. It's the only reason why he was there. He doesn't really play live poker. And yeah, it was just a random thing. And we just became friends. And then I hosted a tournament in London. And I hit him up and we hung out and as friends. And then just became friends. And then one day I was like, just I have friends. A crush on you.
Just friends.
And then, you know, it happened.
You had a crush on him because does it feel like you're hanging out with your best friend? Like that yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very like, when I meet new people, especially, I'm just like, who are you? I don't feel comfortable with you. I don't know you. And I just felt very comfortable with him.
Yeah, I met her at a drag bar and she was like, who the fuck are you? She was like, no, I'm cool. I'm cool. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't do it.
I had a few drinks. That helps.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's really cool. So you were telling me that, so you started dating and then the pandemic hit. So yeah. That was your first year of dating, was like living with each other. Yeah. You like moved in with him.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I was visiting him in the UK in March and just was there for a week. We had a wedding to go to. And right when I was about to leave was when things were shutting down. And it was like, that was like the fucking, when shit hit the fan. And we were like, holy shit, this could be serious. Maybe I'll just stay and just, because we could be separated and who knows. And so I just stayed and I stayed until November, and then yeah.
You just kept staying.
And we got engaged.
How did he propose? Yeah.
We were in Dublin because I could only stay in the UK for 6 months. And then we went to Dublin just because I had to leave the country. And they were in complete lockdown. Like everything was completely shut down. So we went, he took me to like the park and just proposed in the park. And then we had a couple of friends who are Irish and they had set up like a picnic for us with like champagne and stuff.
Sick.
It was really
so
simple.
Sweet.
And then we grinded online after.
No way, really?
Yeah.
You watched a football game. You watched your Colts get wrecked like
before.
Right before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a little more class.
But so that's so interesting. So you guys started dating. You moved in right away, which means he didn't mind living with you. Like you guys didn't mind living with each other. Usually that's like the make or break it time. People delay that process. We're always like, move in as soon as you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the sooner you know if you can live with someone, then you could just like, you don't have to guess anymore if like this is gonna be a long term thing. Because that'll let you know real quick.
Dude, pain is growth, bro. Like you're gonna learn from the pain of like maybe initially living with each other. Uh-huh. And that's where you'll either grow with that person or realize it's time to grow away from them.
100%. No, it was, I mean, it was just such a, like, we had so much fun. Like, it wasn't even hard.
That's awesome.
Know. It was great. I don't know. We were still in the, like, super honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
It was just, like, we had a great time. I had a great time during COVID. I don't know.
And then, I had a great time. My
such
COVID
a great
was so
quote.
Great.
What a quote.
It was good for me.
Yeah.
Love it. You guys, like, had not a good time during the pandemic?
I heard some people didn't have a good time. Why?
Why? Did you try like getting proposed to or like
try being like a loving relationship? Like
I don't
like,
get it.
Very fresh and like new.
And you guys like both like the same things. Like, well, did you even try?
I thought you were dry. That's, you're just being honest.
Exactly.
So now you play poker with your guy. Yeah. And one of my favorite things, because we also have, we have Chris Mormon in our lives with Katie, and I love hearing them argue with each other about poker. It's one of my favorite fucking things in the world to hear a husband and wife argue about their field. It's like what they both do.
Yeah, because to an outsider, like Steve, for example, does not play poker at all.
I don't play poker.
So it's like hearing like a completely different language.
Yes.
And to the outsider, poker is like, oh, a fun game. And then people are like really seriously talking about their hands and like.
Well, and there's the husband and wife element of like.
The husband and wife,
I'm right and you're wrong. And like, but you're talking about a game where anybody could be right or wrong. How's that? How do those combos go?
Oh, I made a video about it, a couple, but I made one in particular about it. And it's just, it's usually me, although it's both of us. I can't, like, for example, when I played Hustler, I played on the Hustler Casino Live.
Yeah, check that out.
Right, they took our phone away, and then I got my phone off back off after stream. The first text he was like, that 5-7 call was like the worst play anybody made on stream the whole night. And I was like, I literally fucking hate you. I mean, he just wants me to play well, so he's like really hard,
it's like
hard on me
tough
in a good
dad,
way.
Tiger dad.
I was like, I don't need to hear any criticism. It's just so hard because I'm not in the state right then to like hear. I knew it was a pun.
Yeah, you're not like, it's not like, hey, let's go over this. Like, did you notice any hands that I blah, blah, blah?
The next day. Like when I'm ready to receive the tough news that I punted away our money, you know, or whatever.
But right after is so hard. Like sometimes
so
like I'm back from just playing like a cash session like on the strip and he's like, how'd it go? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Like, if I lost, I don't want to talk about it. If I won, I still don't have anything to report other than I won.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
But I just wanted, so like, how was your day? I just wanted to, how was
your
day?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But to have someone in the, in that knows the hands, and then like, it's okay, well, this happened. Yeah. And yeah, I'm not in the right mindset, but that's like, he does want you to do.
Do you think he's making the text and he's like, hey, just so you know. And then he's like, you know, he's like, that was not great. And then he's like, nah, I'm going to let her have it, dude. You know what I mean? He's like, nah, that's not good enough. That was the worst shit I saw the whole stream. You know what I mean?
No, literally. And he doesn't even hold back. It's like, he's not even delegating. It's just like, that was like, he was like, that was a $500 bet. It's probably losing $497.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was like, thank you.
Yeah, he's really good with the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I had only seen a few clips before I ever met you guys. I used to watch like Brad Owen's vlogs a lot, and you guys were in one of them. And, but you left like earlier.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he got in a hand with Spraggy over where Brad got a set of twos, and he wasn't supposed to even open or three bet with pocket twos, so Spraggy couldn't put him on a hand. I think Spraggy had queens or something. And then anyway, it might have been reversed, but Spraggy broke down the math like during the hand, like it's all on the vlog, like where he's like, do the math, count the combos, like, and yeah, like ran through this whole thing. I was so impressed by that, where I was like, wow, I gotta study more. I gotta study more. Cause
and then Spraggy lost off the hand.
Exactly. That's why he's flexing on him.
He got wiped out.
Trying to save face. Yeah. Dude, hey, you lost. So I don't care about the freaking combos, dude. Are you counting chips or not?
It did put him in a really tough spot, which I think is almost more exciting than whether the person calls or folds, is like putting them in a really tough spot. Where
you
they're,
mean like verbally?
No, or well, like whatever, with your bet size, with in a spot where they're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
That's like kind of the fun part, when you're the aggressor that made them sweat.
I see.
Yeah.
Like, you're hoping for, you know, whatever you're hoping for, maybe you want them to fold, maybe you want them to call, but like the fun part is like, you did that to them.
Mm-hmm. We're going to now go on a break, but when we return, we're going to talk about poker industry as a whole. We're going to talk about where you see yourself in that industry as a whole.
Don't point at people. Don't point. It's rude.
And we're going to be right back.
Stop. You're offending our guests.
On the Shit They Do Not Tell You What About Network. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. And welcome back.
Hello.
Hope you guys checked out some of our sponsors. They
hope you bought whatever we told you to buy. Actually, we didn't talk about this, but when you first started changing your style of clothing.
Three brand.
I was like, it actually reminds me of Spraggy's outfits.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Spraggy, if you're watching this, which you better be, because you consume all my content. You look amazing.
Well, you inspired me to wear it last week, because I told you that I have a rebrand, but I wasn't going to do it this week because I didn't want you to hate me on first sight.
Yeah, and then
you
was
explained
like,
to me, oh, no, he actually, yeah. So I was like, all right, we're good.
How many, does Spraggy just have like one that he wears over and over again, or does he have like a Doug collection of like track suits?
Dozens. He just bought six more tops. He's like, I'm splurging, treating myself for WQ. I'm like, yeah, they're like 60. He's like, I'm splurging. I'm like,
yeah. Same with him. You never buy anything.
They're like $45. I love these things.
They're cheap.
I love them. And they're comfy.
He did send me a Gucci suit the other day and was like, I don't know, I can't justify it. And I'm like, it's actually pretty class. You should treat yourself. But he's
a
like
a Gucci suit?
A Gucci like tracksuit. Yeah.
Dope.
He could have like a final table tracksuit. Like yes. He changes into the Gucci suit when he final tables.
Yeah, special occasion.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'm like more of a Balenciaga guy, but I get it.
Yeah.
He does not spend, and he has got a nice car and that's it. He will wear the same pair of shoes until they have holes in them.
Don't you love it?
He just is not spendy. That's a little bit
this one, but I'd like him to think that what he's doing is splurging so that Thank he you. Doesn't look my direction Thank when you. I spend money.
I don't.
Yeah. He doesn't.
Yeah. So the poker industry as a whole. Uh-huh. Right now, there is a huge fucking craze, which is called hand histories, right? Like, yeah. And it's been, I know that in the poker community, it's been known, but it's actually kind of broke out into more of a layman. Mainstream. Yeah. Like a bunch of noobs who are like, don't really know poker, who are trying to learn about it. They're all watching like a lot of hand histories right now. So like, how does that, I mean, I know that for someone who's been doing this for a long time, and I don't want to speak for you, but what I keep hearing is that everyone's kind of, in the poker industry is kind of sick of it, but it really works.
Sick of creating the content.
Yeah, creating the content, but exactly.
It just gets boring because it's what they do day in and day out. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think about it in like entertainment terms, but it's kind of just like the most basic, not only do they want to see hands, they want to see just like 101, like the most basic, like fundamental strategy with, you know, because people, you got to think about like a layman doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a casual person. It's understandable that they just want complete basics. And obviously, if you're in the industry, doing complete basics gets old after a while.
Yeah.
I just look, as a layman, you're talking to the pointy headed layman.
Yeah.
I love the drama of the flop. I fucking love it.
So that's what gets you.
That's what gets me every single time.
What's the flop going to be?
What's the flop going to be? Who's got what? And what's the flop going to be? Because you could sit there with two aces. I know this much.
Uh-huh.
I know this much. And then you see two nines on the flop and you don't see any aces. And then you're like, whoa, I could be in trouble with my aces that I thought were going to rock it.
Uh-huh.
So I know that much, but I'm just saying like the drama of that.
I don't think he meant it. He didn't even know.
I'm a huge sports fan. I fucking love sports.
Uh-huh.
And there is such a high amount of drama in the flop that I find it. I think I get addicted to watching the flop.
Interesting.
What about the turn? You don't like the turn?
Turn's cool.
It's only one card.
Turn's cool. It's just not as dramatic as the flop.
The flop dramatically changes.
The flop, the whole dick on the table, and everyone's like, "Oh shit!" Right?
Yep.
The turn is cool though. It helps you narrow it all down. But the flop really does. It's like, "Oh shit."
Yeah. Do you like watching the hand histories because you feel like, okay, what would I do in this situation? Like, if he raised me on this, like, what?
No, I just want to see somebody get wrecked or not wrecked.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like watching car accident videos, which is another one of my favorite things. I love watching people in expensive cars doing dick maneuvers. Like, I got a Lamborghini. I'm going around all you stupid plebs. And then he just goes into the side of an embankment. And like, you know, like $250,000 of damage immediately. Boom. Yeah. Like instant justice. I like that shit.
See, well, that's interesting because like I can't even answer the question as good as you because the question is why do they do so well? And someone who's outside of poker knows better than me.
That's me.
I can't fucking.
That's so true.
And I'm dressed like a noob who plays poker too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, I watched a lot of poker vlogs when I first started. And it was more because like when you're studying GTO or like you're studying with a sim, like they're playing perfectly. So like it doesn't train you to play in real life. And so the first like real life lesson when I went to play the casino, I was like, this doesn't play like the computer at all. And then watching the poker vloggers, like having them explain like what the other person might be thinking or like why they're making that bet size or whatever, because the sim also wants you to bet like really minuscule sometimes, like open with like a 2x big blind bet. Like they would kind of like break all that down. So that was cool as a beginner. And then, but I will say like as when they started playing higher stakes, I was like, I don't relate to this anymore. I'm not playing with $100,000.
For me, it's like you're watching, you know, somebody talking shit, right? Yep. Usually on a stream, people like are establishing their personalities a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so they're talking about their hands or whatever. And they're usually there's some cockiness to it, which I find very enjoyable. I like that part, right?
Yeah.
And then it's almost like cutting to the inside of a NASCAR driver, right? You got that fucking camera in the window. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, watch this. I'm about to rock it. And then he fucking goes into a wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's like that. Yeah. It like fucking does 800 spins and then like goes off the side of the thing. Like that's what it's like. It's like watching somebody go from the highest of the highest to the lowest of lows.
Yeah.
And like seeing how they rebuild from there. I just find it all fascinating. It's like it's like a three-act story happening very, very fast every time.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I didn't think of it that way.
It's a lot of drama.
So you were on your YouTube channel. Uh-huh. You're doing some hand history videos, mm-hmm. and they do well. But then you also do other content that is hit or miss. Like so, like it yeah. you love making it, but you're like, you know, sometimes it doesn't.
I feel like, because I started a new YouTube channel like for mainstream content just recently.
Yeah.
And I want,
by the way, we're going to put it in the description, so check it out.
Yes, please. And I did that because I could have just posted it on my poker channel, but I want people, I don't want to get those comments of like, what even is this? Or like, I expect it, I don't want them to come for yeah. poker and then I give them mainstream shit. So I was like, hey, I'm doing this new channel. This is what it's going to be if you want that kind of thing, which is kind of scary because then you have to really, you really yeah. get the hard truth of like who's actually interested in hearing from you and not just yeah. like want to see poker. But I have like almost 1,000 subs in like nice. Very short time. And so it was like, wow, like some people there are, I think I have like a really solid group of like diehards.
Yeah. Like but, it's a great foundation.
Yeah.
But especially for like consistent.
Yeah. For just like, hey, this is just gonna be me. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to sign up? But yeah, I just think it's so hard because you obviously, I definitely want numbers. Like you get addicted to like what doing, you know, doing what works. But I guess, I think the thing too is like people don't come to me to learn strat as much as they come to like Brad or Andrew because it's like I'm kind of like a cute girl at the time I was like young and they're kind of more like I feel like the average viewer is a guy, right? They can't yeah. see themselves in me.
You're an ex-supermodel girl.
Oh, supermodel, yeah.
Sorry, regular model girl. Yeah, regular print, model, yeah.
Okay, scum 5'7". No, I don't think that this is like my thing, but...
Yeah, well, it's what you feel in your heart. So yeah. this is actually what we connected on right off the bat because I mean, obviously, have been doing YouTube full-time since 2009 and started with comedy and then moved into vlogs. And so I know that what people are watching me for kind of now, like, and I love it. Like, I love, on the vlog channel, I love vlogging my daily life. Mm-hmm. On the comedy channel, I was doing a cooking comedy channel too. And like, that's what people like came to the channel for and subscribed. And like, you yeah. really have to think of that. Like, when someone hit that subscribe button, that's what they subscribe. This is the type of content they hit the button for.
Yes, yes.
And so when I started getting into poker and on my vlog channel, I'm just vlogging my daily life, but now poker is mm-hmm. becoming more a part of that life. Mm. I struggled with like, well, I want to be sharing like what I'm going through with poker, but there's a lot of people that don't understand or aren't interested. And mm-hmm. so I had considered starting a second and a third channel for
yeah.
poker. But then it's like, how do you balance that that workload yeah. of are you continuing to post content on the poker channel and then also mm-hmm. posting content on the main channel? And how is that working out for you?
Well, I honestly like I kind of knew that I wanted to do more mainstream stuff for a while now. And it just really scares me because, well, my identity is poker. It's just a lot safer. The menu is a lot smaller. I just feel like it's just what I'm my comfort zone. And when you open it up to like now you could just make it about anything.
Yeah.
At least I have a style and I know kind of like the I know I want to do sketches. I know they're going to be short. And I know my general like, sense of humor. So that's not starting from like square one. But it's scary. And I put it off for a long time. But I just realized that I had a convo with big content creator. And I was in Barcelona. And he was just like, you're just never going to like grow unless you branch out. Like, this is just so capped.
That's true.
So it really gave me the push to be like, fuck it. You
and
know?
Do you have a lot of ideas that you want to do? And like, you never get to explore them if you just keep focusing yeah. on the poker channel.
I have ideas, but I'm like, you know, like poker ideas, I just kind of know they'll work. And yeah. so they feel safer. Whereas these, I kind of like question my own sense of humor, like what works, because I'm just like, will that work? Because I haven't done it before, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, that work is the basis of every fucking creative thing ever.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
And that's yeah. actually, I think that's the beauty of it. Like yeah. a lot of people are mad because they're like, I want my channel to be big already. And it's like, well, no, actually you don't, because this is the part where you're figuring it out. And you don't want like 100,000 eyeballs on you telling you what a bad job you did or telling you yeah. should have done it this way or that way or whatever. It would have been funny if you did this instead.
It pulls on your voice.
Yeah, where you're yes. in the very beginning and like you get to experiment and like it's scary, but it's also like fun because like, I'll try this and see if it works. And I don't have to worry that, like, there's a dedicated audience that is used to seeing just the same video every single time, and now I'm trying something new. Yeah. Like, you're in an experimental phase. It's kind of fun in that way.
It's fun, yeah, for
especially
sure.
Especially if you don't, I was telling, like, talking about this too, like, if you really, like, need the views for, like, sustaining your income or something, then it can kind of hurt your creativity because you're just wanting to stick to, like, what works and what brings in views. But when you don't have that, that worry in the back of your mind.
Yeah, for sure. It's just scary. It's just, I'm definitely at this new chapter now, and it's really scary. So, but that's how I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because I was at the point with poker videos where I wasn't really at, will this work? I was like, I know this will work. Mm-hmm. It was formulaic because I, like, knew what, some things are better than other things, but I generally, like, knew it would work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a bad place to be almost, because then it's creatively, like, you're kind of on autopilot a little bit.
Yeah. You know? It's always like what your drive comes from, right? Like, some people, I was always kind of jealous of the people that didn't really care about the creativity. Like, they're not like super creative people, but they know what works online and they just were able to do it consistently. Mm. And maybe they're bored, maybe they're not, but they don't really care because they're driven by consistency and money and growth and like, they're not bothered. I would get bothered by being stagnant, like, for a while. And I was always kind of mad at myself for that because, like, I could just keep doing this thing forever and it would work. But I feel like a different person now. And I think that's kind of what you're going through. And, and anyone that is more of a creative person could probably relate to that.
Yeah.
You tweeted something about this a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I loved reading the responses because I knew some of the people in the responses, and that makes sense because this person is way more creative, and then this person's like, well, I just go by the numbers, and kind of that way in poker too.
Yeah.
You have like the technical people, and then you have the like intuitive people and
the live read people, the field players. Yeah, no, it's hard. I always struggle with that because sometimes I feel like I go too far the other way where I'm like, so because what happened for me was I was doing everything. When I came to my vlog, I got so many opportunities. I did my podcast, I hosted Triton, which I did interviews, I was playing in this huge nosebleed game at Aria, private games. I was doing commentary and tournaments. I was doing literally everything and still making vlogs. And then I started therapy and I was like, okay, like, what do I actually want to like focus on? What do I actually want to do if I could do anything? And the answer was just to make content that like I would actually watch. Because frankly, like a lot of stuff I had made, like I wouldn't really watch it personally. It just kind of was what worked or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, that was my only goal, is I just want to make shit that I think is good. And that's what I've been doing for the last year. But I feel like I kind of, in that process, got too far in the rabbit hole of like artsy fartsy with it. And I think that now I'm ready to find, now that I've like done that, I'm like, okay, now I feel that I'm actually can trust myself that I can keep that going. I'm going to like try to grow it and think more business.
Yeah.
I wish people would hear what you just said and repeat it like 17 times in a row. I'm not kidding, because sometimes I'm trying to watch hand history videos and guys are like cutting to fucking crane shots or something, or like some part of their day I don't give a shit about. I don't give a fuck, dude, that you went to McDonald's. I don't give a shit. Please just get to the fucking hand history part.
Yeah.
But like, they think it's like creatively fulfilling or something, or like to cut to them getting off an airplane and putting the bag on, and we all know you're a jet setting around the world to play poker, bro. I don't give a fuck. Just show me the jacks. You know what I mean? Like, show me where you're at.
See, this is where I get stuck, is like, that's so I love that part, is like picking out background music. I love like explaining a story. Like, it's not just the thing I'm doing, but it's like the story as a whole of my life, right? And so I can relate when you have a creative person that's like trying to stick to this formula that works, but they have this like other part that's pulling them. So I get that. And actually,
so wait, sorry, okay, yeah. But like, so are you saying that we shouldn't follow that creative edge? We should just kind of
separate it.
Yeah, chill a little bit on the frou-frou stuff that doesn't, it's not relevant to me.
I think he's saying, like, you're doing the right thing by separating two different channels.
You just said you were being self-aware, going like, I realized I was too in the artsy-fartsy shit, And I think that a lot of people make that mistake, but you're kind of you have to go there to find your voice, I think. But I think you also have to just think about what your audience is there for, because that's key to the whole game, right? Otherwise, just make videos, let's make home movies and like literally just rewatch them.
Definitely.
Like, go for it. Like, honestly, and I'm not even like making fun of anybody when I say that. I just think that some people actually do that. And it's like, you're not Casey Neistat, bro. Like, you're like, that's his thing in his lane. Nobody's waiting for Casey Neistat to get to the point, because that's the point of a Casey Neistat video, is you're just hanging out with the guy.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's the different vibes of the different
vibes. It's like, what's your through line? And like, you know, like as somebody who's written scripts and shit, it's like, get to the fucking story already, dude. You got to get to the story quick, or everyone's already out. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you. Like, with including more poker stuff into my regular vlogs, I'm like, I'm scared I'm alienating my audience a little bit, because the way I'm talking about the game is not like layman friendly, but I like want to connect to other people in that, you know. And so I'm like, well, maybe I should just start another channel, but then that's hard to. So I started a Twitch stream for that, but I feel like the same but opposite with you, where you like went too far this direction and now you're finding the balance. I feel I went just deep in the hole with poker, where I like wasn't uploading videos for a while, and now just like kind of rebalancing out.
Yeah.
But it is when it comes to like art and business, like what you love and like versus like what's going to make the money, just like my acting coach earlier was talking about, like you have to, if you're going to sustain the business part of it, you have to delay some of the art part of it. And he would be like, get typecast as much as you can, make all the money, and then you can branch out and do your like what fulfills you as a person. Maybe you want to do a play, or like maybe you want to do something that's not like money related. And so it's always a struggle.
When you look at YouTube analytics, right? Like when you look behind the video of like what people are there for, you can tell where people have the most attention and where people drop off. And if you're sitting there and you can understand that, yes, me talking here about how I went to McDonald's is something that I liked because I told this quick joke in it, and I really liked the way that I sound in this joke. Versus like where you see your audience is actually hanging out, and it's like not there.
Yeah,
it's time to get rid of there and get to the point where you know, that's how I grew on YouTube, right? It was just about distilling your video down. Like, I remember I used to watch all these Man on the Street videos, and like it would take a while for it to get to the conflict, and I was like, god damn it, I want the conflict right away. So that was all my Man on the Street videos were. That's all they were. I just got, it was started with conflict, it was all conflict the whole fucking time, and that's how I grew. So like, and I was listening to Mr. Beast talk recently. He's like the most famous YouTuber now. And he was talking about engagement and how you can just, you know, you can just tell when you're in a conversation with somebody, even when everyone's going to lose their focus on it, if you've been paying attention to this stuff over time. And it's time to trim that out and get to the fucking point again, right? And you can actually start to boil your own content down and really just making it as engaging as possible.
Yeah, I think it gets tough though. Like, I love, like, that's a great analysis, because it does take time to hone that part of it. Like,
you have to really listen to yourself.
Yeah. And that's like, what would I watch back? When you're creating content that you're like, I want to be proud of, like, and watch, like, make content that I would watch. You have to like look at it with an outside eye and like kill your babies sometimes.
Think about your audience. Yeah.
And take out the parts that you like, but like maybe it doesn't help the narrative of the story or like the video as a whole. And I do think that's harder for creative people. Just because, like, you fall in love with your stuff sometimes. And,
well, creative can be a pejorative as well, right? Like, it can be a bad thing too, right? Like you're a creative person in a way where you just made the Brown Bunny and you're Vincent Gallo and you had a chick suck your dick and like, you know, but it's art and it's a beautiful fucking piece of work and like you're gonna try to submit it to festivals and shit. Like, that's creative, sure. But everybody just thought you made porn at the same time. You know, so you have to really just kind of check yourself a little bit, look in the mirror, I think, at all times.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I definitely, it's hard for me because I guess I just don't really, I definitely have trimmed it down. In the beginning, I was like dawdling around, even like in the early videos, and like not getting to like the actual point. And it's like a lot cleaner, but I guess I'm still like not even 100% clear of like why my stuff works or like who's watching it.
Yeah, that can be a thing too.
You know, I'm like, okay, this is working, but like, who are these people? And like,
what are they, what do exactly do they what, like?
Yeah,
about
what
it?
Part of it is, Because I haven't been strategic in the last year, but I don't know. I feel like I fell in love with this artsy fartsy part because that's kind of got me some success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now I'm trying to like hone in.
Well, it sounds like what made you successful just from what you've been talking about is you liked it.
Yeah.
So you're going to keep making it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's really, really good, right?
People can sense when you're not passionate.
Yeah, I think that is a really, really good starting engine, right? Mm-hmm. And then what I'm talking about is almost like after the bomb goes off, how do you like pack it back in so that you can really distill like what everyone's there for?
Totally. And I mean, I've been 20%. What's the old saying? Like 20% gives 80% of the results.
Yeah,
like what
that ratio?
I spend so much time editing and thinking of ideas and racking my brain. Like if I could just like cut down to the meat and potatoes of like, how do I get the most likes in the shortest amount of video with the least amount of effort over and over and over again? That I still think is good. That's the key.
Love it.
You know, it's hard.
And that's like it's two separate parts of your brain because there's like the analytics part. We have a friend, he's a YouTuber, and he's so good at the
genius
analytics
at
part
it.
Like
it's crazy.
Where he just the thumbnail, the freaking SEO, like every little detail that gets you the most amount of watch time in the algorithm and stuff, he's like on it. And his channel blew up, obviously, like that
sky high,
you know, inevitably. He's, you know, for years he was like creating content that he liked, and then he like switched it to like the algorithm content, and his channel blew up, and he found a happy medium where he loves the stuff he's doing and now the SEO. But I remember him going back and forth like, well, this stuff I like but it doesn't do well, and this stuff does well but I don't really love it. And now he's like at that middle ground sweet spot. But that when he ran me through the analytics, it's like a lot of stuff to look at.
I hate it so much. I need to hire
someone.
But
once you get it down, it's like,
then it's
easy.
You
start to recognize it. You just start to watch something and then you go, oh yeah, we should cut it here.
Yeah.
You just start to know.
But it's kind of like learning the technical aspects of poker. Like some people are just really good at the math and like the, and like
exactly.
know where all the bluff spots are. They're like computers. Mm-hmm. And if you can just balance the two, like, all right, I already have the intuitive side down. Like I just really need to study the math part and like get that second nature, and then you can start, you know, balancing it. But I think going off the deep end like you did, like where you're like, let me go all the way on the other side of the spectrum with the art stuff and then like meet it in the middle is like the best way, because then
I think so.
Yeah.
And how do you measure success, right? So like your metric could be different. Like there are people out there who do like food reviews and like they've been doing it for 5 years and they have amassed a huge audience, and that's what they do. They go to fast food, they go eat through fast food,
muffins.
And they're like, and they're like, I like it or I don't like it.
Yeah.
And like if that is like something that they love and they like doing it, that's great. But like you could be, you know, fucking Roman Polanski and you're watching that and you're like, this would be my personal hell.
Yeah,
this would be my nightmare.
Yeah.
Have you thought about like what the end goal is, or are you kind of just in the fun like experimental phase and we'll see where it goes?
That's kind of the problem too, is I don't really have a necessarily like a dream end goal, because I mean, I guess my end goal is to just like have like a bigger channel where I'm not, because right now I make my money from poker. I don't make money from sponsors or from content. Well, it's content, but it's like sponsored by a poker site, not
you're
like
a poker stars. And is it called an ambassador? Like,
yeah, I'm not team pro, I'm like an ambassador, I guess. But yeah, I guess the goal would just to be like have a channel that actually can get like real big sponsors, and I can support myself on that. And poker can be more of a side thing, but yeah, I'm just like torn. I'm just like, because I'm like, I'm in this place with it now where I'm like, oh, this is like good shit. I don't want to like sacrifice it all, and I'm like so timid, but I just need to like let it go and just say fuck it and just do.
Yeah, letting go, and I mean that's kind of all you
all
you can do in life,
to let
go. the risk.
What's step one?
I think I just need to like get rid of like all judgment around is this good or is this bad even, and the goal is just literally like, it's not even to like make good shit, it's to literally just make shit and then see what. And go by numbers. Like, turn off the art brain completely and trust that, like, that's there, the muscle is there, and that'll pick up. Mm-hmm. I am not going to let myself just make complete trash because I have a certain amount of skill at this point. and just completely be like robotic almost with it.
Mm. Yeah, like mechanical. Refillable content. It's still your voice, still your sense of humor, but mm-hmm. it's like refillable. Like they always use that term when we were like coming up with formats like for YouTube. Like how can you make refillable content that if something's trending, you can easily slip it into your content? For example, I had a cooking show like I didn't know how to cook, and the whole thing was like me trying to make a dish and having him taste it at the end, and he has to tell me if it's tasty or not. Uh-huh. And it's called Tasty Tuesday, and everybody, it's like the same format every time. I'm picking a recipe, I don't know how to do it yet, we're gonna see what happens, and then he has to taste it at the end, and everyone knows what happens, like, and it gets judged tasty or not. Well, then if something's trending, like this is probably a really bad example, but like the Tide Pod thing was trending.
That's a very bad example.
Yes. Let me not use that example. Well, holidays even. Like holidays are good tent poles where like everybody's doing Halloween content. So
or like what, cakes or
yeah, like we, what Halloween yeah. when Halloween recipes can I make right now? Or like Super Bowl or the football season just started. What are good like football appetizers to make and see if that works? So you get the SEO because people are already like searching those things around that time of year.
Maybe they'll find you.
But yeah, and then they're like, well, I also cook, so I just keep watching that, you know? But or like if there's a trend, like everyone's doing like the ice bucket challenge, maybe we make like an ice slushy food thing and you like have that in there. I don't know. But that's like an example of refillable content where you're hitting the algorithm, but you're also doing content that you like and it's still your voice and personality.
Something else that YouTube did that I think helped to actually ruin part of why I liked watching YouTube was they made the algorithm benefit the most likes the fastest. So now videos don't even start until people spend 45 seconds explaining why you gotta fucking like the video and subscribe to the channel. And like, so YouTube created these rules. It's not their fault. But now, guess what, guys? There's a new package coming to your doorstep, every creator, tomorrow, and you have to make your videos suck a little bit more because that's how to game the algorithm, and everyone just sort of has to participate in that, so it's not even their fault. But it just, it comes from the top, right? The top helps to make the other stuff suck more. And it's...
Or like when you... It was based off watch time too. Like, so if you had a shorter video, which is what traditionally did well on YouTube, was having like short, quick sketches. Like,
high engagement.
So like it counts as a view because it's short. So if your video is a minute long, and then like it counts as a view, and so the high view counts were the what was pushing videos up. And then YouTube was like, you know what? I'm not gonna be about view counts anymore. It's gonna be about watch time. So the longer your video is, the more the algorithm will push it. So everyone's content got stretched. Even if there wasn't any meat left, they would just try to like fill it. So it could get to like 7 to 10 minutes so that they could get boosted by the algorithm. And it was just like, like I wish that it would let creativity and
it would just let it be.
Decide, but.
But you have to choose. You have to. It's like, do I want to be successful, right, and still make my videos and be rewarded by the tube gods algorithm?
Yes.
Or do I want to make my own thing and like be against it, but like not ever reap the rewards of being on a platform like YouTube?
Definitely.
It sucks. They put you in that box. So I'm not even blaming creators when I say that. But it has made videos almost unwatchable now, where I'm trying to watch something.
And then you've got like, these machines of companies that just churn out like SEO algorithmic content. They just like have
bots.
Yeah. And it's just like, so people have to sift through all that to get to your video too, because they've found a way to exploit the SEO and algorithm. It's a whole
I'm
like,
listening to something. Yeah. I'm in the car.
Yeah.
I'm like driving. I'm listening to a guy talking. And then all of a sudden I hear a fucking click and I hear a bell and I'm like, what the fuck, is somebody behind? And it's like, oh no, it's on the video, they're saying subscribe, and they put the big subscribe thing up here, and then they have you click in the bell, and it's like,
yeah,
but then again, it's not their fault, that's YouTube. So it just sucks to have to acquiesce to the rules of the medium, but that is, I guess, the hell that we're all in.
That's the hell we're in.
But I found that super relatable. I think that a lot of people out there that are like, you know, I have this thing I love to do, and then I have this thing that I know works and brings me money. Is there a way to merge them? Do I have to pick one? Do I have to sacrifice my soul for the money, or sacrifice the money for my soul? Like, and I've talked to so many people that have been
in that boat. Sacrifice your soul, have ad breaks.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
I think that like, now that I've got a handle on it, I need to just trust that like, even if, because the thing is, even if you're doing whatever ice bucket challenge or something that's very like trendy, whatever, you're obviously just still going to be you.
Yeah.
It's not gonna, you're not going to literally just be some intolerable person who does it, who's like the worst. You're still going to do your thing and have your little jokes and you'll put your spin on it. So, but you have to hone that in first.
Yeah.
And I think I'm there now.
That's like, great. That's a great place to be in.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I'm excited to see like what comes next.
Can't wait.
Definitely subscribe. What's the is there a channel name yet?
Marl's TV.
Marl's TV.
M-A-R-L-Z. Don't forget to click the bell.
Notifications bell.
That's your, but that's your poker channel or that's your...
No, Marley Poker is poker, Marley poker and then is Marl's poker. TV.
It's... Okay. Marl's TV is...
Is my regular.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Exciting.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
I know. It's so awkward ending these
stories. I know, right? Well, no, is there anything like anything else you want them to go check out? Like, I know that...
Scraggy kind of, on twitch.com.
Yeah.
Your husband. My husband.
Oh, you're moving to England soon.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so ready to like be over there. I'll probably stream a little bit, but like I said, I'm not really trying to like, you know.
So follow her on Twitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marley Poker.
There's so many more options over there.
Yeah.
For poker.
Yeah. And there's good live poker. There's EPTs. And
it's a tournament. Live tournaments.
European poker tournament.
How are you gonna get your cats there? That's the biggest question.
I have one boy here and he is gonna be a very unhappy camper.
Yeah.
On that flight.
You take him on the flight, put him in your lap?
Under the seat, yeah.
Under the seat.
He's a big boy though, so he's gonna be a little cramped.
See, she's a cat lady too. You have to subscribe.
Exactly.
Gotta. Yes, please. Yes, Chauncey. I post lots of content. Follow him.
But you do have two cats. One's in London,
England.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just so funny. Like, honestly, the same type of humor. Dry. Dark, dry.
Who?
You, me, like us. Like, yeah. I feel like anyone that watches us would love your stuff.
I thought you called her Andrew.
Yeah, I thought you said Angela. I was like, who's Angela?
I was like,
I need to enunciate. Yeah, I don't
I was like, she's like, Andrew's so funny. I'm like, oh, who's Andrew?
Oh, and just and, is and what just, I said. And just so
and just
funny.
So funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Should put some pauses in there.
Maybe.
I went into mumble mode like you.
I like it. I think people are going to start Googling, oh, who's Andrew?
It's a more efficient way to...
Follow Andrew.
Yeah, right, follow Andrew TV.
Check us out at Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. Keeps the show alive. Thank you very much. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.